Well, my name's Beth, and how many of you go to church here? Just one. Okay. And how many of you go to church? You said you went to
Grace.
Just the three of you. And where do you all go? Okay. And you went to Cross Point. So we have a nice little mix. Very good. My sister is the youth pastor's wife here, and I moved here. I'm a nurse. So I work in the emergency room. So if you want some fun, exciting stories, I have a few. I grew up as an evangelist child. My dad travels. We traveled all over, and we traveled in a truck and a trailer. So I grew up, I have an older brother, and I have a younger sister. How many of you are middle children? Anybody in the middle? Awesome. We're the little peacemakers, aren't we? That's what we have to do. You have a twin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
there you go. Twins in the middle. How many of you are an only child? Anybody? No? How many of you have at least one sibling? Two? Three? Four? Okay. So three's the max. Very, very good. How many of you go to a public school? Most of you? You homeschooled? Christian school? Homeschooled? Very good. I was homeschooled. I did school on video. Fast-forwarded a little bit more than I should have, but I learned by homeschool, and I grew up in a 40-foot-long trailer, and your room is probably as big as the room that me and my sister and my brother shared in the back of the trailer, and yes, we all survived, and my sister is probably my closest friend today, and of course, that wasn't always the case, and my parents are a very big part of my life and very good friends. And I wanted to talk about family feuding. What is the oldest feud that you all know about? When you think of feuding, what comes to mind? Are you all too young? The game show. Awesome. You all are probably too young. You know the Hatfields and the McCoys. You've heard of them? Yes. I think they started fighting over a pig is what the whole family feud. And they ended up killing a few people and fighting, and it became, you should read about it. You know, it's part of history.
Reading's bad for your brain.
Reading's, oh dear. No, it's not. We did some of those words. I wanted to start out with some of those words. And we did harmony. We did servant. We did fighting. We talked about love, relationships, unity. When you think about your family, what is one word that, you don't have to say it out loud, think about it in your head. What's one word that comes to mind? And I hope it would be some of those positive words of unity or harmony or peace or joy, not where those words of the fighting or argument or words that are negative that would describe the family. And when you think about in the Bible and you read through the Bible, is there one place in the Bible that deals specifically with the family that you can think of? One place that you would turn to, that you would think of? Not specifically when you think about the family. There's a lot of examples, aren't there? You read about stories in the Old Testament about how Joseph, he's a big example. If anyone came from a crazy family, he did. His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery, and his life was kind of traumatic, and yet he decided to follow God and to do what was right, even though his family was against him. You have the first fight in the Bible was what? Between siblings. Very beginning of the Bible. Like, there you go, Cain and Abel, where Cain was jealous of Abel and the respect that God had toward his offering because Abel was obeying and honoring God. And he killed his brother. He got so angry at him. You have a lot of examples. And then in the New Testament, what is the verse that a lot of people quote to you about children obeying your parents? It's found in Ephesians. Or the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and your mother because it will go well with you. Those are a given. Those are things that we are supposed to be doing. God says we're to honor our parents. God says that we're to obey our parents. Those are given things. I want to kind of take the idea of getting along with your siblings and your brother and your sister and honoring and obeying your parents. And I want to go to a passage that maybe you would not have thought of and deal with. It's all in your mind, and you have to have the right mindset in order for you to get along with your brothers and sisters and honoring and obeying your parents. If you have your Bible, you can take it and turn to Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians 1. And verse 27. In verse 27, it says, Paul's writing here to the church at Philippi, and he says, only let your conversation or your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given, the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Notice the mind, he continues to deal with that, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul writes here to the church at Philippi. Do you know where Paul was when he was writing this book to the church? Where did Paul spend a lot of his time? In jail. He was in prison in Rome, being tried for his beliefs, and he wrote to the church at Philippi, and he wrote to them because he wanted them to have unity, and he wanted them to have joy. You know, when you look at the church of Christ, God uses a lot of terms that we use for our family, doesn't he? We call each other at church, what do we call each other? You're my sister in Christ. You're my brother in Christ. He uses those family terms. God is our Father, and just like he set up the church is made up of families. And when there is harmony and unity in families at home, there can be harmony and unity in families at church. God designed it that way. And when we take things that, when we obey and follow the way God has designed things, there's blessing. And there is God's blessing to our life. God wants unity for the church. The Bible is filled with instruction on how we're to live our lives as Christians. It's full of little nuggets of how we are to act as children of God. And you know, one day you're going to stand before God. It's just going to be you and him. And you're going to give an account of how you obeyed your parents. You're going to give an account of how you got along with your brother and your sister. The family is so unique and so special. You know, you didn't have a choice of what family you're going to be in. God chose that. God in his sovereignty decided who your parents were going to be, and he placed you into the family that he wanted you to be in. He gave you the mother that he wanted you to have. He gave you the father that he wanted you to have, and he even gave you those little brothers and sisters that he wanted you to have, because he knew what you would need to be able to be nurtured and to learn. How do we learn about relationships? All through our life, we're going to have relationships. All through our life, we are going to have to be able to get along with other people, work with other people. And God set it up so that in the family, we could start to practice as we grow up. You know, I made a ton of mistakes when I was a kid. But my parents never kicked me out of the house because I didn't made mistakes. And there's a plaque that says, I smile because you're my sister, and I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. Your family's always going to be there. You're always going to be a part of that unit that God has designed. And we can learn how to have right relationships in the family. And when you practice biblical principles in your life, and you begin to practice them today, as you go home with your sisters, with your brothers, with your parents, as you begin to practice those every single day, then you'll be further down the road as you grow up and get older and develop more mature relationships. It's a great way in the family to practice. God says that we are to honor our parents. What does that word mean? What do you think honor means? What comes to your mind when you hear that word? Respect. Good. How do you show someone honor? Any ideas? How about in the way you talk about that person? You show them honor by not speaking negative about them. You know, you're going to give an account for the times you sit down at the lunch table and your friends are maybe talking bad about their parents and you start going off and saying, yeah, my mom won't let me do this and I can't go out and do this and do that. That's not showing honor toward your parents. That's not speaking well of them so that your friends think highly of your parents. And that's a direct disobedience toward God. And he doesn't bless that. Showing them respect that they deserve. And the Bible says clearly in Ephesians that we are to obey our parents. If you're not obeying your parents and you're not honoring your parents, then you are in direct disobedience toward what God has set forward for you. And God cannot bless when you are not obeying him. And it's not going to get easier just because you say, well, you know, I'm going to become legal and then I can be on my own and I'm going to go out. I love the people that say they don't like authority, but they're like, as soon as I can, I'm going to join the military. Isn't that great? The military is probably a whole lot worse than your house is. They make you do a whole lot of things and they're totally in control of your life. Authority is going to be everywhere that you go in life. And God has given you this time in your family to learn how to get along with other people, to learn and put into practice. So as we look in Philippians, there's three things that I want you to walk away with today. Three thoughts that I want you. It's all in your mind. As we read through there in those verses that are probably familiar to you if you've been in church at all, it talked a lot about having one unity together. It used the words one, single, like-minded, several different times. Because God wants his children and the church to dwell together in unity. And the first thing, in order for us to have harmony in any kind of relationship, the first thing that we have to have is first, we have to be saved. And yes, I've alliterated it. I'm a pastor's kid, so I alliterate everything so that you can remember it. The first thing is you have to be saved. If you look at the very first verse in Philippians, Paul writes to the saints in Philippi. Paul is writing here as a saint to those who have been born again. Growing up, I'll tell you my testimony. I heard the gospel from the womb. My dad's a pastor and he preaches it very hard, very straight, and he tells you like it is. And I heard the gospel from the time I was in diapers. And we grew up traveling all over, and every night, I was in church every single night of my life except for Saturday. So every time you want to complain about going to church on Sunday and Wednesday, don't even think about it. I was there every single night. in church, and we would sing together as a family, and then we would do the children's meeting. And I would tell the stories, and I told countless number of children about the gospel, told all kind of other people about the gospel. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old at the Wilds Christian Camp. Any of you been there in North Carolina? It's a nice camp that we would go to every summer. And my dad was preaching about Judas Iscariot. And Judas, for 3 years, he traveled with God. He was right there. He watched the miracles. He heard all the truth. He even probably told other people about it. He possibly himself even performed miracles. But Judas never personalized the work that Christ was there to do. And I realized that night that I was a sinner, that even though I went to church almost every single night of my life, and I was a nice little girl, I didn't do all those mean things that all those other kids did. I was a nice little Christian girl. I most of the time obeyed my parents, did what I was told, traveled all over, did all these things, but none of my righteousness or none of the good things that I had done would get me into heaven. I made a profession when I was a little kid, and I had struggled and doubted for a very long time growing up. If it was really true, if all these stories in the Bible are really true, and that night I understood that I was a sinner. I understood what the Bible was teaching, that without Christ forgiving my sins, I would spend eternity in hell. And I didn't want that. I wanted God to come into my life and take over. And that night, I put my faith and my trust, all of my trust. I didn't trust anything that I had done. In the past, I would pray a lot of prayers and hope that that would get me in. In the past, I would, you know, if I'm good enough, if I do the right things, then maybe God will accept me. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm sure you've heard the gospel. If you've been in church at all, you've heard that all of us, the Bible says, are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've heard that it is none that doeth good, no, not one. And the wages or the payment of our sin is death and separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. And that if you put your faith and your trust, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. And that night at 16 years old, I understood and I put my faith and trust in Christ. And that is when the Holy Spirit came into my life, and now I have the power to live right. Before, I was trying to do it. I was trying to get along with my siblings and trying to obey my parents on my own. And you might be able to do it for a minute or two, but you're always going to revert back to that sin nature, and you have no power. When you allow Christ to come into your life, he gives you that power to do the right things. You know, I've just met you today. I don't know what's going on in your family lives. I don't know what you face at home with your parents or your siblings, or what kind of conflicts that might arise. And I don't know how they treat you, and I don't know how what happens at school and things, but I do know that if you are a born-again Christian, if you have Christ living inside of your life, you have the power to do what's right, no matter what anyone else does. You know, you think of Joseph. He didn't have any of his family to support him. Most of them hated him. But he followed God, and he had God's power to do what was right. So the first thing we see is you have to be saved. Without salvation, without the Holy Spirit working in your life, you can't have harmony in any relationship. You can't have peace, true inner peace, in any kind of relationship until you have the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want you to see is that you have to be single-minded. We tried to draw that out, and it ended up being a face. But you have to be single-minded. When you read through these verses, I like to go through and I circled every time that it said one, same, like-minded, one accord, together. God wants us to dwell and to live in unity, in peace, not with conflict, not with division or fighting or arguments. He wants us to live together in peace. And Paul had it right. He was single-minded. His mind and his focus and his goal in life was to live for Christ. That was all he was focused on. It didn't matter that he was in a prison in Rome. You know what he was doing? He was witnessing to every single person that was chained up next to him. He's like, you can't go anywhere, I can't go anywhere, so I'm going to tell you about God. He was using every single instance in his life to share the gospel. His mind. In Philippians, there's a very pertinent and probably popular verse that Paul says, for me to live is... Maybe you finish that sentence. For me to live is Christ. In Philippians 1:21. And to die is gain. He was single-minded. He had one mindset, and that is, I want to do everything to glorify God. I want to do everything to honor God and show that I am living for Him. He was focused on Christ. He was so focused on Christ and living every day to honor Him and to give the right opinion of Him. And when you have that single mind, then when you're focused on Christ and following Him and doing what He wants you to do, then there's no room for division. There's no room for strife or argument. When you're focused on honoring Christ and following Him, and your sister gets all the recognition at school, that doesn't matter. Because you're focused on honoring God and following God. And your sister, you're excited that she gets that because you want her to succeed. You have that single-mindedness. You're focused on living for Christ every single day. There's no room for strife. There's no room for argument. We talked about Cain and Abel. Cain got very angry that Abel was getting promoted, that God was accepting his sacrifice. And so what does he do? He says, well, I'll go out and fix this problem. I'll just get rid of the competition. And the first murder was committed because Cain wasn't focused on what's going to please God. Cain was focused on, what about me? What about my rights? What about me getting recognized? What about me being first place? What about God liking what I do? He wasn't single-minded and focused on God and focused on what God wants to do. God designed the family to work in a certain way. He put the father as the head of the home. He put the mother as that helpmeet in the home. And He put you as the children. You know, the old saying goes, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we all know what came first. The parents came first. And they are the authority. And God designed that we should obey them. That's what the Bible says. And that we should honor them in our life. And when you have a single mind, when you are focused on, I want everything in my life to please God. I want everything in my life to honor God. Then you're going to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You're going to honor them in the way that you speak, in the way that you act, in the way that you live your life, so that your parents look well to your friends. The last thing that you have to have, we're going to finish early, which is fine. In this passage, in the very end, it says, let this mind be in you. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mindset did he have? In verse 6, it goes on, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God, the creator of the whole universe, the one who gave you life, the one who chose the family you're going to be in, the one who allows your heart to continue to beat. If he didn't will it, it wouldn't happen. God chose, even though mankind totally rebelled against God and went against him, and every thought that we have is against God until he comes in and changes our life. God chose to leave his royal throne, to send Christ, his only son, to this earth, and to take on the form of a human, become a man. And he was born in a lowly stable. Everything, when you read about Christ, everything about Christ that you read, he was totally not born in the most wealthiest of families. He was very humble, and he lived a humble servant life. And he was such a servant that he even humbled himself and became obedient to God, even to the point of death, even that death on a cross, which is the most humiliating death that you could have. Christ's mindset every single day was the mindset of a servant. And Paul here writes to that church at Philippi, and he says, Christ is our example. And when you have allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to take control of your heart and your life, you've accepted him by faith, you've become his child. When you have allowed Christ to change you, and you have single-minded focus, focusing on how can I please God? How can I live every day so that Christ is magnified? You're going to have that mind of a servant. Every day when you wake up, you're going to have a mind of a servant. You're going to choose, you're going to decide that today I'm going to see what can I do so that other people can succeed. What can I do so that my mom doesn't have so much work on her plate today? How can I help her and not argue or go against what she says? What can I do to get along and help my siblings with their homework, with their work? How can I encourage them today? You're going to have that mind of a servant, taking that mindset just like Christ. Christ is our example. He left everything in heaven, and he came down to earth to spend years with human beings who rejected him and who in the end persecuted him and killed him when he had done nothing wrong. And he did all of that because he loved us. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And he did that as an example for us, and he did that because he loved us, because he wanted to come and die on the cross for our sins so that we could have the power to be able to live a life that honors him. And Paul here in Philippians talks about how we can do the same thing. We as Christians, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the power to live a Christ-honoring life. Every day, taking that single mind, that single focus, for me to live is Christ. I want to do everything in my power to honor God today. So I'm going to start by putting all of this into practice in the home, in the family. Accept. Maybe some of you have not accepted the will of God for your life right now, and that is to be in the family that you're in. Maybe there are some difficulties at home, some conflicts with parents or siblings, and you think, how in the world is this going to get any better? How in the world is this going to be able to, how am I going to be able to survive in this kind of situation? God gives you the power when you become his child. He gives you the power to be able to live for him every day. He's given you an amazing opportunity to practice these things in your home as you grow up, to wake up every morning and decide with a single focus, single-minded, that you want to honor Christ in all that you do. And then every single day to take on that mindset of a servant. And when you take on that mindset of a servant, just like Paul says, you're not going to be having strife. He says, let nothing be done through strife, conflict, or vainglory, wanting yourself to be promoted. Because when you're a servant, you're at the bottom of the totem pole. And you're always looking out for those needs of other people. You're wanting others to succeed. And when everyone in the body of Christ does what God wants us to do, when we live the way God wants us, there will be unity and there will be harmony in our homes. And when you do that, your unsafe friends see the difference. And then they wonder, how in the world do you get along with your mother? I don't understand this. How in the world do you get along with your family? I don't understand this. And you can have an opportunity to share Christ with them and share that it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So take these thoughts today of, number one, you've got to be saved. I pray that if you have never personally accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have gone to church all your life, been a good little girl, done what you're supposed to, that you've never repented of your sins and asked Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, that you would do that today. That's the first step in order to having harmony in any kind of relationship. Because without the power of God, we have no power in our lives. And then every single day, deciding to have a single mind, one focus, and that focus is to glorify God and to take upon yourself that servant-minded and to serve your brothers and your sisters, to serve your parents, to serve those that are around you. And when you put these things into practice, God promises that your life will be blessed. God promises that you will live, that you will have inside peace, even if there is conflict going on out in your relationships. When you're honoring God and when you're doing what God wants you to do, you will have internal peace and joy that comes. So let's just bow and pray and thank the Lord for the words that He's given us today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you took upon yourself the form of a servant, and you were made in the likeness of men, and that you chose to live among us and to die for our sins. I thank you for the free gift of salvation. I pray that if there's anyone in here that has never personalized the message of the gospel, that they would do so today so that they can live full of your Spirit, so that they can live with the power to be able to be single-minded and focused on honoring you, and that you would help us every day to decide to take on the mindset of a servant and to obey our parents in all things, honoring our parents in the way we live and serving those that are around us. Thank you that you give us the strength and the power. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.